Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update, October 23rd, about 10 o'clock Central Standard Time with myself and Carl. How are you?
I'm doing just well today, Scott. It is good to be back on the podcast with each other. It's been what, a month since we had the two of us on?
Yeah, it has been actually, now that you say that. Yeah, reunited at last. So, fortunately, with that being said, fortunately, it's been somewhat of a quiet five trading days, trading sessions, and since last week's podcast, we have seen major indices essentially flat. We'll move through them pretty quick, but the S&P up just over 1%, Dow just up over 1%, NASDAQ the same, Russell just slightly less than 1%, gold down about 3%, although it could use a little bit of a breather based on the just crazy tear higher that it has experienced as of late. And then the 10-year notes basically flat as well. Now, there's a real important reason as to why we have seen that subdued volatility since last podcast. And the big reason is that we have a very big week next week due to the Fed. So that'll be a good opportunity to jump on over into Carl's corner and look at our stats there.
So, like we've been discussing, especially last week when I delved a little bit deeper into these interest rates and what they mean, next week, next Wednesday, the 29th, the Fed has a 98% chance of a 25 basis point cut. So, like Scott has mentioned, when you get within 20 days, the probabilities tend to take on whatever one has the highest. This is as close to 100 as you can get, and we'll never say something's guaranteed, especially this year when it comes to interest rates, because the first cut was supposed to be in March and they pushed it all the way to September. But next week, we're probably looking at a 25 basis point cut, which we already planned on, and the portfolios are managed to take advantage of that. And then December is where it gets interesting. So we've been discussing for a while how maybe they need to take December off, kind of let everything breathe. But as of this moment, there's a 91% chance of another 25 basis points. So 50 total by the end of the year. Now, the reason why they feel this conviction to be able to do these cuts is because the inflation numbers, the jobs numbers, just like I talked about last week, everything is coming up exactly where they want it to be. And so they feel confident being able to reduce these down a little bit more, especially going into the new year, because everyone is going to start with their personal loans, car loans, things like that that are more directly correlated to the Fed rate. And then the velocity money is just going to come screaming back. And that's what they want, especially during the holiday season where money changes hands so frequently.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it's interesting. If you think back to the beginning of the year, towards the beginning of the year, it was widely speculated by talking heads, and even some of the Fed governors saying that they could see a path where there was zero rate cuts in 2025. And we stayed pretty adamant that, yeah, I think we're going to get two, if not three total in 2025. And it looks as though that's going to be the case. I am a bit surprised, pleasantly surprised, to see such a high probability of a rate cut in December, because to your point, I definitely thought if they were going to take a pause, yeah, it would be in that December meet. They always tend to surprise in those December meets. And so as of right now, it looks like we are in line for two more rate cuts. And obviously, we've talked at length about, like what you just mentioned, what does that lead to? It leads to injection of capital into the economies that then trickles into various investments, market being what we're focused on here on this podcast, but a myriad of different investment products. And so, very interesting times that we're in. It does remind me very much of 2019. And we had that discussion a few times, one-on-one with some folks, as to why 2019 is, to me, going to be such a good blueprint for what 2026 looks like from the equity market standpoint and treasury, for that matter. And then on the tail end of that, not to get too far ahead of us here, but on the tail end of that is when you'll likely see the ripple effect start to enter into the commodity and currency markets. But short term, at least, I do see the decrease in interest rates very much boosting equity markets in a substantial way. And I think because 2019 is going to prove to be such a valuable blueprint for 2026, I think you're going to see that shift move into the kind of the macro and then seasonals start to pick back up. So we are very much positioned for that. We're positioned for both the interest rate sensitivity as well as the seasonal aspects. And Carl, if you want to just kind of touch on a few of those sectors.
Well, the what we're looking at in this month and next month, the seasonals, broker dealers are really good. Consumer discretionary, healthcare are some of the bigger ones that we're looking into. They, in particular, have a really good Santa Claus rally, especially consumer discretionary, as everyone can imagine. And with interest rates coming down, so money more readily available, consumer discretionary is one of the ones that we are really focused on. And we think the velocity of money, the ability to have money, I think is going to accelerate that sector fairly well going into the new year. And one last thing I want to touch on when it comes to the interest rates was Waller came out last week and said, once we get these rate cuts done, he's thinking about slowing down. And he's one of the leads to be the new Fed chair. So what we need to keep on our horizon and what we're already, the way you and I look at it, in January, February, March area. We're already thinking first quarter because we kind of see what's going to be happening in this quarter. So we're thinking that far ahead. And we're thinking there's probably going to be less rate cuts to start the year next year, especially if they go back to back here.
Yeah, I could not agree more. If they really end the year strong in terms of rate cuts, then yeah, I agree with you. I think we could see a little bit of a pause into the beginning, maybe even into May when Powell does leave and whoever that replacement might be. I could easily see that. I think that's where, I guess, to my point of the seasonal aspects, I think that even that pause isn't going to slow the markets down because November to April seasonally are the best 6 months out of the year. So I think that's where seasonals take over. They really make their presence known. And then you got the macro coming back in after that. I could very easily see that being the case. I did want to touch on one quick thing that I forgot to mention in terms of equity markets. So obviously, 2 weeks ago, we had that kind of bout of volatility. And it just reminded me of the fact that the lows typically are found when you go into that 6 month stretch, November to April. Prior to that, the lows are found in that October, right? And so, what's interesting to me about that is while we would have anticipated, traditionally anticipated, a little more volatility to the downside, we also talked about the fact that, with interest rates coming down, that's not as likely. But the low that we saw in October was October 10th, and that was 6540 in the S&P, about 200 points lower than this. So, October still sort of proved to contain that additional layer of volatility, but nothing to dismantle portfolios again because of that interest rate cut acting as a backdrop or a backstop to equity markets. And so I think that's very important as we move into next week, which, as you mentioned, is highly anticipated to be another rate cut. But one thing to point out, Carl, and we talk about this a lot on this podcast, is the consensus is already that they will cut rates, right? So that's very likely already baked into the market, especially now that we're well within that 20-day forward-looking window. That's important, but what's more important is what Powell says in the post conference. And then what's even more important than that, Carl?
Well, next week we have the Fed meeting as well as it's earnings week. And it's earnings week for the big ones, the Mag Sevens, the ones that are highly weighted inside of most exchange traded funds. And they start on Wednesday. You're going to have Meta, Apple, every one of them that you could think of that are trillion-dollar companies, except for NVIDIA. That's the one. They do theirs on their own like a month from now. But next week, we're going to have earnings coupled with rate cuts. And so next week, you're going to see volatility. It's going to happen. And hopefully, it's volatility to the upside. We anticipate volatility to the upside. All the earnings we're looking at are positive earnings. And so next Wednesday, we're going to see volatility. Next Thursday, we're going to see some intense volatility as well, which will be perfect time for our podcast. We can discuss everything that's going to be going on. But I want to piggyback off one thing you said. October is the lows before it starts going into the November to April move. Well, what is the end of this October? The end of this October is a rate cut and good earnings reports predicted.
That's what we're hoping
The
for.
absolute perfect trampoline, catalyst, whatever word you want to use there, to start shooting us into that November, December Santa Claus rally is next week. So next week is very highly anticipated across all institutions, all financial sectors. Everyone is looking at next week as kind of being the blueprint of what's going to happen over the next few months.
Yeah, and to that point, I'm sitting here thinking, what can next week really kind of look like? Because it will be volatile. And my opinion or prediction would be it's going to be volatile both to the upside and the downside. But currently, we'll just use this as a benchmark. We're at 6760. It would not surprise me one bit if by next podcast, next Thursday, we've seen 100 points to the upside from here, 100 points to the downside from here, and we are reporting next podcast that the S&P is currently at 6760. So we shall see. There's a lot of components that can affect that, but that's just me stepping out on a limb to see if maybe I'm correct on that. And I only say that because we're in such a tight channel right now that relatively that I could really see that being a real possibility. But
And what you're referring to right there is one of the other aspects we use when we make investment decisions, especially the individual equities. When you talk about channels, that's the technical analysis that we use as well to go with the macro, the seasonal, and statistical. So I agree. I think we're going to see some major volatility next week. And I couldn't agree with you more where you think it's going to end up.
yeah, it'll be interesting to. I hope that we can report back 6760, which means more than anything, that we escaped October without much downside volatility. Obviously, there was volatility, but hopefully that channel kind of continues into the end of October, and we can very much look forward to that Santa Claus rally. There's different Santa Claus rally setups. We can kind of go through, I guess, in podcasts going forward. Once we get out of October, we can go through the different quote unquote Santa Claus rally setup. Some are longer term, some are shorter term, and some are very short term that predict the balance of the new year. So we can go through all of those. That'd be kind of fun, interesting podcast to do. But with that, I mean, that's all I have, unless you have anything else.
No, I think we covered a lot of great information. Next week, listeners, make sure you're ready for the email blast, or find us on iHeartRadio or Podbean, because I think next week's going to be a real good one, full of a lot more information.
Yes, next week will likely be a longer one, without a doubt. So, with that, we're going to go ahead and wish everyone a happy upcoming Friday and weekend. And we are going to go ahead and look forward to doing this again next week.